Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is an honor for me to be here and to talk to you. Can I get my slides, please? Could I get my slides, please? Okay. So we are going to talk this morning about insights and best practices, and specifically, I'm going to focus on what I think is the current revolution, and that is the consumer data revolution. In the first part, in the first half hour or so, I'm going to give you a framework for these insights and practices. My own background is that I was the chief scientist at Amazon.com until a few years ago, and I've now had the pleasure of consulting for a number of large firms like Alibaba, Lufthansa, Volkswagen, Nokia, Siemens, MySpace, Match.com, and I'm teaching at Stanford data mining, as well as UC Berkeley, where I have a new course called Marketing Web Tool. I'm also and have been teaching for a number of years in the People's Republic of China at Tsinghua, a course on executives, EMBA. I'm then followed by James Kim, the CEO of Yahoo Korea, Yuzo Kaneko from the NGI Group in Japan, and Sam Fleming, who also came in from Shanghai. All right, the consumer data revolution. Who of you has any idea what I'm talking about? Let's go back in time for maybe 10, 15 years. That was Web 1.0, and Amazon.com certainly is a good example for that. What happened? It was that companies were very good in snooping up data behind people. Sometimes we call this digital exhaust, to look at the traces people leave, just like in physics. People look at the traces people leave in experiments. The consumer didn't have much of a choice. They just had, basically, other people look behind what they did. Example, Amazon.com. You couldn't do anything but telling Amazon what you were interested in. No such thing as going to that newspaper stand and clandestinely looking at that magazine. Hey, you need to click at it. Otherwise, Amazon wouldn't be able to show you that page. Now, what is new in this Web 1.0? What's new is location data. Think about it. What is closer to you, maybe, than your underwear? Not much, but the mobile phone. The mobile phone knows where you are. It also knows who is nearby. It knows what situation you're in. It listens, it sees, and so on and so forth. So part of this Web 1.0, if you like it, of this implicit data which people are collecting, lots of things have changed there in the data sources. Specifically here, location data. We will see in the panel that there's a lot of location data, for instance, in Japan and in Korea, leading over what we have in the United States. So you all know the term Web 2.0, and Sam is going to talk about some very interesting product ideas that came out of China as collaboration, not just architectures of participation, like writing blogs, or interaction, like people interacting with each other, but people even producing things and selling them in a collaborative way. So I want to make one distinction here in Web 2.0, which I think is important. And there is whether people explicitly contribute data about themselves, for instance, saying what I'm interested in, or whether people contribute data about their relationships to others. That is new. Because when I snoop stuff up behind you, I won't figure out who your friends are and how you relate to them. So we have these two aspects of architectures, if you will, of participation, about themselves, and about interaction in the third case. And then the framework I want to provide is, what's actually the economic impact of that? How does that differ in Asia from Europe? You know that, for instance, in China, because software essentially, you know, costs what the media costs, that new ways of monetizing games, think Shanda, have appeared. You know Cyworld, of course, where virtual item trading was invented in Korea. So now, what is the change in attitude consumers have to their data, and how is the economics of data changing? The key of my talk is that we focus on interactions. Data mining, the course I teach at Stanford, used to be, hey, here's some data, give me some insights. it then shifted to, here's a problem, give me some data. That means, how do we create incentives for people to provide data? And what's the future? Hey, I give you data and you give me money. Or some other kind of currency, social currencies. Very briefly, why is Amazon what Amazon is? Why is Google what Google is? Because they take experimentation very seriously. Experimentation is action-driven. We try out different things. Here is an example. You click on the shopping cart. Amazon does recommendations. About 20% of the recommendations come from, you know, people who bought X or also bought Y, which could be compliments or which could be substitutes. And now I have just one simple question for you here. Do you think this bar which we just constructed should be on the right-hand side, or do you think it should be on the left-hand side? Who thinks it should be on the right-hand side?
Amazon.
Who thinks it should be right-hand side? One person. Who thinks it should be on the left-hand side? One person, two. So the question is, does it depend on the country? It depends on many things. So how do we make decisions? This is about how does a company make decisions. You know, Jeff Bezos is an absolutely awesome guy. But I'm not sure whether he would win in arm wrestling or boxing or whatever happens in companies in Korea. But he says, look, we can measure it. So we come up with metrics. Here are two examples of metrics. And we measure it, and it turns out that you don't have to have any deep knowledge about how people read, left to right to left, top to bottom, bottom to top, but all you need to do is you measure it, and it's about a 1% effect. So the message I want to get across for Web 1.0 as a framework is do experiments, play. Don't worry about hierarchy. Don't worry about your bosses. Get an idea, play with it, and do it. One slide as a side remark on recommendations. How dramatically recommendations, which you all know, people have bought X, also bought Y, have shifted. What are the sources of data? We have product data, very hard. We are not there yet. Product wikis, very hard. Semantics of products, I don't know anybody who does a good job. But of course, we have clicks, meaning purchases. We have forwarding information, Amazon's share the love, which goes after the relationships between people. We have annotations. Some dating sites, for instance, allow you to annotate the people just for yourself. But it is attention gestures. And how do we turn attention into intention? Well, that is part of what we do. And search, of course, Google knows that very well. Search is one of the key intention gestures which we can get. What is new is here on the left-hand side, people. Amazon didn't treat people as people in the recommendation. As long as somebody, anybody comes and clicks between two items within 24 hours, that matrix with the cell of those two items gets incremented by one. But now it's different. Friends, meaning specific people you know. That's much more powerful. I show you an example from a telecom company in the United States which uses that information to actually market. Peers, I love G-Star. Some people love Apple. So hey, our peers, we might not know them personally, but they will do a great job marketing for these companies. Again, from China, we learned that they're I fans, they're A fans. And what do they do? And the third one is, of course, going to turn towards experts. CNET, fashion bloggers. Danny is here, one of the best bloggers in Korea. So these are examples of recommendations. And I'm trying to show you this, that what you all know and probably like, people what X also what Y, has changed dramatically over the last few years. And the main component is the social component, which originated in Asia. So it's originated in Asia, but American companies are using it. Leveraging the social graph in e-business, in traditional business, is a company, US phone company in New Jersey originally, which has deep experience in targeted marketing. They built sophisticated segmentation models, basically their experience, intuition, and data. And then a friend of mine at NYU, where I used to teach, Foster Provo, he said, why don't we just leverage the social graph? And what he did was he said, instead of using our complicated models, which give us 0.28% of lift, Let's just simply market to those people who have friends who they talk to who already bought the product. And you got a lift of 4.82. Not 4.8%, but a factor of almost 5. That, ladies and gentlemen, is an example of the power of the social graph. E-business. Let's now move to me-business. Here's my friend Go Kasai. Go, of course, tells us here, thanking everybody for his birthday wishes and is ready to begin his quarter-life crisis. Now, what's happening on Facebook? Facebook is very much designed for interactions. Write something. Here, please write. Share something. Post something. An immediate invention, help us out. Let's connect. Next example is down here. Purchase. The attempt to do e-business within me-business, but as you know, the click-through rates are about 0.1%. Not much. Next example here, meet beautiful women over 30. It's a very limited inventory Facebook has. And what I want to point out here is this little feature, architecture of interaction. Interaction and instrumenting the site, there's a thumbs up and a thumbs down. About as many people as click on an ad, click on thumbs down. About 1.1%, 0.1%. So me business, about myself. And then we move from me business to we business, to community. That's something which we want to discuss in our discussion afterwards. An example of a US company is called Get Satisfaction. Get Satisfaction allows customers to interact with each other, and then companies, if they feel like it, can join the conversation. The tagline of Get Satisfaction is customer service is the new marketing. Meaning, gee, you have this traditional marketing, people going to Overture, buying keywords in order to get them to the site, but many people already have a product. So why not actually have a conversation with people who are already interested there? Why spend the money on trying to broadcast if you have people there already, rather than outsourcing your customer service somewhere far away where you have as little knowledge about it as possible? So where do people go for information? 20 years ago, it was produced news. 10 years ago, the days of Yahoo, Google, it was search. Search, however, means that you can only look for stuff which you already know exists. What's happening now is discovery, that you want to find stuff you don't know to look for. How can you discover stuff? And that primarily happens through the social network, and sometimes I call this Generation C. C standing for connection, community, communication. You fill it in. So where do these communications actually happen? In the traditional model, you have your company, which downcasts, not worried about whether anybody is listening. But that's not where the communication happens. People talk. People talk all the time about products. And the challenge is to enter those conversations. Here you have the traditional model of showing ads, newspapers, television, stuff like that. But how do we enter those conversations? How do we listen to those blogs? I learned yesterday that per internet user, there are more blogs in China per internet user than anywhere else in the world. What can companies do in this conversational marketing to listen and to potentially influence those conversations? In America, I don't know about Asia, in America, basically, there is no trust in companies. Only 70% of the companies, 30% of people trust companies. 5% say that companies do right by their consumers. That is pathetic. 95% of the people think that companies suck. 4% only trust their HMOs. Let me give an example of a health insurance. There's a woman in New Jersey, a girl, who has eating disorders. So she tries to be really, really skinny. And their health insurance decided, we don't think we want to pay for her treatment. And so her mom said, gee, I'm paying for health insurance every month. How can you not pay for my daughter? And they said, let's look what she's doing on MySpace. Let's see what she's doing on Facebook. And they grabbed all the data from MySpace and Facebook. And that's how they made their case against that person. No wonder that only 4% of Americans trust the HMOs. 7% pharma, 9% car manufacturers, 12% telcos. So then, where does influence come from? Who do they trust? Not surprisingly, they trust their friends. So recommendations which are made via your friends are very powerful. Why? Because three things come together. The context, the content, and the recipient are all chosen by the person who is sending out the recommendation. Forwarding something to your friend is not random spam, is not an ad which gets shoved in your face, or worse, which gets ringing on your mobile. But hey, I think that you might be interested in that ad because you have a cool jacket. So I'm telling you about it. So I choose the jacket, the content, I choose the context, how I get it, and I choose you as a recipient. And all the numbers is that it's between a factor of 4 and a factor of 10, which is doing better. And again, this is not only in America, these are slides, which were translated actually from Chinese here to English, that you see this pyramid, which is turned upside down, is just as much turned upside down in Asia as it's in the United States. So this is what the consumer data revolution is about. In the 70s, we had just maybe 10 million people talking to computers. In short, now the key thing is that it's 100 million people plus producing stuff. Now I want to scare you a little bit about what data sources are happening you might not even know about. Here's a company, and I grabbed that from the website in the United States, called IMMI, Integrated Media Measurement Inc. So you get a mobile phone, and that mobile phone makes a phone call every 30 seconds. It makes a phone call every 30 seconds to some headquarter after it listened to what you are doing for 10 seconds. So for instance, Danny this morning, 7:22, Danny was in the shower. 7:22 and 30 seconds, Danny was in the shower. 7:23, 7:24, 7:43, Danny was still in the shower. Clearly a candidate for separate shampoo and conditioner. Whereas other people are really rushed. 7:45 in the shower, 7:46 out of the shower, candidate for the entire body shampoo. That is a company in California called IMMI. Or here's another example, a screenshot I took when I prepared for my talk at Web 2.0 last year. My computer asked me, "Hello, allow S3 Amazon AWS.com to access the camera and microphone." My computer asks me whether it can look at me so Amazon can send me better ads. Pretty amazing. Nothing compared to your mobile phone, of course, which knows where you are. So of course I say yes, because that way I can get those ads which are relevant for me, as opposed to those ads where it doesn't know whether I'm sitting by my computer myself or with my friend. Next example. MyInfo, you think that maybe your mobile numbers are private, or maybe Google CEO thinks that his Google mobile number is private? Bullshit, not happening. Here's a company called, in America, called Jigsaw. Jigsaw collects information by people contributing their friends, or maybe not friends, mobile phones and contact information, and they have 7 million business cards already. And it's you give points, you get points. It's a trading of information. Something as private as your contact information, you can find there. Or something even more private, my own DNA. For $400, you spit into a test tube and you get your DNA analysis pick. The company is called 23andMe, and this is actually my DNA you're looking at here. So the power is not the 23andMe, but we go for 23andMe to 23andWe. And we means that we now have a database of tens of thousands of people who we can do experiments with, same idea of we had at Amazon. So what we really have here yet again is the consumer data revolution. Insurance, GPS, 5 minutes, yes. Insurance is another example, your mobility pattern, thank you. Here's a company which tried to have you charge your car only when you're driving. I don't know how car insurance works in Korea, but in this case, if my car is in my garage in San Francisco without me moving, I of course pay nothing. But if I drive somewhere, let's say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, It says, where do you want to go? I want to go to Stanford. It says, okay, that will be so and so many cents. If it's 3 o'clock at night, it might be a different charge because people at night might be driving differently from people during the day. They might be drunk or, well, maybe there might be less traffic. I don't know which way it goes, but it's a statistical problem based on the data people contribute. So many more examples. Upshot is, what we are seeing here is a data revolution, not a software revolution. So here's an example from a year ago when Nokia bought Navtech for $8.6 billion. Why? Well, in the olden days, Navtech paid 1,000 people driving through the countries with a GPS and logging where the roads are. 1,000. This year, Nokia alone is selling 100 million mobile phones with GPS. 10 to the 5 more than 1,000. So they can get way better maps by knowing where people actually drive than paying people. So Amazon realized very early that users can add value. You know the example of Google Maps, where at the beginning people thought we need to stuff that hole that somebody's hacking into our maps, and people said, no, let's open it up and let people play with us, let people contribute to our data, and we all know these wonderful stories. My question to you is, when will airlines follow? When will banks follow to enter this consumer data revolution? That's also a question I have to the panel afterwards. What do we see here in terms of data in Asia? So to summarize, we have seen that we moved clearly from e-business to me-business with the user in the center. That means actually that it's no longer companies shooting you display ads or text ads, but it's you putting out a request for proposals. Hey, I want to buy a camera. I'm willing to spend $4,000. Is there something better than the Canon 5D I have? Talk to me about it. What deal can you make me? Secondly, systems have to be engineered for feedback. Systems have to be instrumented, and that means that the example of Facebook, thumbs up, thumbs down, we can quickly learn about users' preferences. So let's just summarize here. What we have seen is that in the last 10 years, we have moved from trying to collect data from people, whether they want it or not, to empowering people to tell us what they're interested in. That can be in the area of blogs, it can be in the area of products, it can be in the area of friends, what you want, who are you going to meet, it can be about discovering people, or it can be about discovering tasks you might want to rally behind. In the second stage, we saw people giving more and more data and people getting more and more anxious about getting something in response to those data, and not, please, not better ads sent to my mobile phone, but, well, maybe meeting some great people. A company called Looped is an example in the Bay Area, which allows you to find out by walking through the street in your GPS, well, who you might want to meet. A company called Discoverio allows you to discover people who you might be interested in doing certain tasks with. So what we are seeing now is seeing some economics being attached to that. An example of economics would be, rather than me showing you for free my GPS data, maybe companies coming up with great traffic models based on this paying me for my data. So one of the questions we'll discuss in the conversations which we'll have in a moment is, who pays whom? Where are we shifting from us getting gouged for our attention getting raped by companies and ads, to actually us having conversation with companies? So on that note, I would like to thank you for your attention and turn the phone over here to James Kim. James Kim is the CEO of Yahoo Korea, and he's going to talk us a little bit about what the consumer data revolution is doing here in Korea.
Thank you very much. Can I have my slides, please?
Could you possibly give him his slides?